So I want to make sure your mic is up high enough too, right? Yes. Okay. So Mark, tell us a little bit really about what's, if as you can, anybody that can see Mark's t-shirt here this afternoon that says eat, meet, code, and repeat. And he's going to explain that. And I don't know if you can see on my shirt. I've been walking around all day with the same kind of sticker asking, having folks ask me what that's about. So in your, tell us, just remind everybody about your economic development role, and then please move into this hackathon, which is happening this weekend in Huntington County.
Absolutely. Well, again, like Suzanne said, my name is Mark Salek.
Get closer to your mic, please.
Huntington County Economic Development Director, and the Economic Development Office for the county is on the second floor of the Chamber of Commerce building, and actually, later on, Suzanne, I'd love to talk about how our partnership with the Chamber is shaping up. But we're a staff of three in here, and the office's goals or the project we work on are pretty broad. Basically, anything that can contribute to the future sustainability
of
the county. I'll move my chair. There we go.
Oh, okay.
To the future sustainability of the county can potentially end up in this office. So one of the things we try to do is make sure that we are growing industries that are good for the that have a high wages that you kind of need to live in New Jersey and Huntington County and can provide career opportunities for our future workforce. And so that kind of feeds into what you talked about today, and that is that we have the third annual Hack Huntington Hackathon coming up this weekend. And a hackathon is a 24-hour tech product creation competition, and they are not overwhelmingly, you know, established around the country yet. Usually, and this is what's cool about ours, usually they're in a major city or they are associated with a school, like Princeton would have one. We're one of the very few, really about the only one that I've discovered so far, that's in a rural area. It is not driven by a school, but rather a unique partnership of local entities. In this case, the county, through Economic Development Office, the Chamber of Commerce, and the Flemington Community Partnership.
I'm going to stop you there, and I'm going to ask you to let folks know that are listening that might never have heard of the term hackathon. So stop and tell us what it is that you're going to be speaking more about.
Sure. So again, it's a 24-hour tech product creation competition.
And that means what?
And yeah, and here's where it ties into what I said. What's really neat about these things is that essentially for 24 hours, technologists come out and they work on a project, and they try to get as far down the road on that project as they can. And most of their projects are items that can become actual real-world tech products, be it an app or something else like that. So at a lot of hackathons across the country right now, teams could be developing what's going to become the next Facebook, you know, or the next Google or something like that. And so what you do is you put out the open call. You find a great spot to hold the hackathon in this case for us, Huntington Central Regional High School this year. And they come and they pitch their ideas to each other.
How did they find out about this, and how do they get to you?
Well, we're not taking registrants anymore for this year. We do need to be clear about that.
But you said they come. So let's let our audience know who they are and how they find us.
Well, these are the technologists, and they usually find out about our hackathon through the hackhuntington.com website. And, of course, we advertise through social media and in a number of places on the Internet that, Suzanne, you and I would have never heard of if it wasn't for this effort. But, you know, we're tech people. Find out a lot of things. And
okay.
So I can't even remember some of them right now, but we go ahead and post ads in there for those.
Okay.
And again, I would have died without knowing about these if it wasn't for this effort, more than likely.
Happily, maybe, even.
That's right. So, and then, of course, we try to let the high schools and the colleges know as well. And so anyone who's a coder or a technologist or programmer or software developer, a lot of these folks will come to this event. Some have ideas for the project they want to grow during the 24 hours, and some don't. So at the beginning of the hackathon, after the opening ceremonies, the ones with ideas stand up and pitch their ideas to everyone else. And by the time all those ideas are pitched, everybody pairs up, and then they are off and running, creating a project.
So on the spot, they create teams.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. And what's an average team, or is there no such thing?
You know, what's interesting, average team the first year was about three people. We had a wide range last year. We had everything from teams of one to teams of six. So it was all over the map. And interestingly enough, it was a team of one who won last year's event. It didn't start off as a team of one. It was a team of two, and one of the people had to leave before the end of the night. It was just that's one of the challenges of the event. People bring sleeping bags. We give them plenty of caffeine. We provide them food, but it is a long haul, and that's part of what makes it fun. So this poor gentleman ended up finishing his project on his own. But the amazing thing about that was this gentleman was a 15-year-old Hunterdon Central student, and all by himself, he won and beat teams as big as five seasoned IT professional adults for the top prize.
That's just emblematic of the industry, is it not?
It absolutely is. As a matter of fact, two of the three top prizes last year went to teams of minors.
Wow. And your role, what, are you Jerry Lewis in this hackathon? You're probably too young to know who Jerry Lewis is and what he used to do for the telethons, right?
No, I remember that growing up. Watching the telethons.
So is that the role that you have there? Do you it, sort of?
Obviously, myself, along with my staff in the Chamber of Commerce and Fleming and Community Partnership and the school, Hunterdon Central, of course, we've been organizing it for months and months. But, yes, at the event itself, I will MC the opening ceremonies and MC the closing ceremonies. But, thankfully, for the good of the contest, I'm not judging. So the judges are seasoned IT and technology, engineering, et cetera, professionals from this area. And so that cast has changed off and on for over the course of the last couple of years. But once again, we really do have some solid folks in place to do the judging, and they all of them have at least a decade of experience in an affiliated area. So we got a great group of judges. They will determine third, second, and first prize. But we want as many people to leave with something as possible. So we've got a ton of fun prizes to go along with it, smaller prizes. So we have a prize for most original. We have a prize we've given out all 3 years so far, which is most valuable hacker. And we watch over the course of the night and see who's helping the most. So last year, for example, a woman won where she finished with her team, or the first year, she finished with her team early, and then went around and helped others instead of just falling asleep and catching up on sleep before her presentation the next morning. So she won. Last year, a woman, a middle-aged woman, helped a team of young folks, and so she won. So that's a fun one to give. We also have all kinds of goofy ones like who drove the farthest to get here.
Mark is a very fast speaker, which helps in most cases.
Especially
I'm going to ask you to slow down, yes.
And then who drove the farthest, or, you know, who we have best rested hacker this year. So whoever Chris Phelan, the director of the Chamber of Commerce, and I, as we're wandering through the school at night, if we see getting the most sleep, we'll give it to that person. So, again, the idea is just let's get something to as many folks as we can. So.
Sounds like fun in that regard. Why do you do it? This is the third one. So you must have some reason to keep going. It does not sound like it's necessarily just a piece of cake to get it together.
It is not.
Okay, so why do you do it?
So that harkens back to what we talked about in the beginning about wanting to grow IT and technology sector locally. And
you want to do that why?
We want to do that because we want reasonable and appropriate growth for Hunterdon County. So we want high-wage jobs. But we want those high-wage jobs in this county to come from industries that are, again, reasonable, appropriate for Hunterdon. So I always use the example I'll use a silly example, but if garbage dumps, running a garbage dump, paid an average of six figures a year for most of its employees, thinking about what Hunterdon is and its natural beauty, we're not going to pursue a future based on attracting a lot of garbage dumps, right?
Right.
But IT companies are often very well-paid individuals in offices that don't create waste. They don't necessarily generate a lot of traffic. They're not a big strain on the local infrastructure and so on and so forth. But you can have a lot of these companies who have 20 or 30 of these folks, programmers, and et cetera, who are earning well over six figures. So that's a high-wage, light footprint model. And that's what the county has embraced as a part of how we'd like to tackle creating the sustainability for the future of Hunterdon.
So it's part of your overall, this particular effort is part of your overall economic development plan for Hunterdon County viability and sustainability. And
it is, because
retaining businesses and residents and everything else.
Absolutely, because what this does is it was the first effort, there's more, but what this did was this created a platform for our local innovators to show their skills. It also brought them out so that we could partner with them. We now know who they are.
Were you surprised?
It was interesting. When we were told when we first got here there wasn't a big workforce of IT and, again, affiliated technology workers here, turns out there is. But that really leads to the third benefit of this event, which is they didn't know each other were here either. And so after that first hackathon, we started to realize we had a chance to build a community. And so in addition to the annual hackathon, we've added other Hack Hunterdon events. So now we also, for example, have a Hack Hunterdon monthly tech meetup. And so a lot of local technologists come to that. That is the last Thursday of every month at Lone Eagle Brewery in Flemington. And we usually have a speaker, but sometimes we have more fun than that. So this last week, we had Bring Your Oldest Piece of Working Technology Night. And so it was like a show and tell for technologists. Suzanne, we even had somebody pulled up to the event in a car from 1914. That was their piece that they brought.
Wow.
So it was really, now these guys are really smart, actually. So the funny thing is we had to make a rule for the event, oldest technology. We had to say it has to be a post-industrial revolution piece of technology, because otherwise we would have had these guys showing up with the wheel, right?
Yes, yes.
Or a pointy stick.
Or two cans and a string.
That's right. So but through the hackathon and the meetup and other things like that, we're creating a community for these folks. So what does that mean? Getting back to the whole purpose, why does that connect? They are now working on projects together. And what we want is we want to continue to partner with them so that those ideas can grow here. So if somebody is developing the next Google locally, they're going to make sure that project grows here, provides opportunity for our workforce rather than thinking they have to leave. Because 5 years ago, a lot of these folks would come up with an idea and they would think to themselves, now I need a team. I obviously have to move to Newark or Jersey City or Hoboken or something like that to find my team. Now they know they don't have to. So the hackathon is a continuing annual platform that continues to allow us to engage with our innovators, give them a platform to showcase their skills, and allow them to find each other.
Mm-hmm. And continue to shine the light on an industry that could be other than our agriculture and agritourism, something like that, could be actually a real icon, if you will, for the county.
That's a great point. The hackathon does continue to help brand the county as sort of a hub of technology and innovation. So, and it doesn't hurt adding to that when you've got things like, we can talk about this because we haven't yet, when you've got companies, IT companies like Unicom Global moving into the former Merck headquarters.
Yes.
Now, I know a lot of people probably know about that already, but if you talk about branding, definitely does not hurt our efforts to have something like that land in our lap. So that was a wonderful event that occurred at the end of
sure.
last year, as you know.
Yes. So what? So just briefly walk us through this. So they all arrive. They know that they're signed up for the hackathon. They either have their idea, or as you described, they're going to link on to someone's idea. They form their teams, and then they literally go to work and start programming and this and that. Tell us what actually happens then, besides the eating and the sleeping and the drinking of coffee.
That's right.
Sounds like a big party to me.
It gets to be, for them maybe, but for the organizers, it gets to be a long night because we're not actually doing that stuff. But essentially, there's the opening ceremony, and we go over the ground rules. We talk about the event and so on and so forth. Then they do the pitching of their ideas like you just talked about. Once they do pair up and settle in, there's a number of rooms at Hunterdon Central they can go into. There's the commons, and basically they just kind of choose their own spot that they're going to settle in for the rest of the night. And then essentially they get to work. Now, we do have some mentors that are experienced folks that will go out early on, including us. We'll do it too. We'll circle through And help can be provided in terms of, okay, here's what you said your idea is. Do you need assistance organizing your thoughts? You know, and so if we've got somebody who's run his own company for 15 years, he can help them do that. And so, but by and large, they're on their own at that point.
I'm getting impressed, Chris.
It's really fun. And then, and then they'll get going, and we have food everywhere. So wonderful sponsors of this event. So food sponsors include ShopRite and Costco, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A,
wonderful
Dunkin' Donuts with coffee,
Chimney
Rock for pizza, and so on and so forth.
The entire county gets behind this.
Yeah, yeah. We keep them fed. We keep them hydrated. We have coffee for myself. We have sugar-free Red Bull. So we make sure that they have everything they need.
Aren't you always on Red Bull, Mark?
Actually, I've cut that out. It's just coffee now, but this is a special event. So I do get Red Bull for this.
Okay. I only say that, folks, because he has such high energy and it never seems to pale.
I did used to drink them a lot, though, when I first got here.
Yeah, you did.
So we provide everything they need, and they haul up, essentially, and go, go, go. But we do provide opportunities to give them breaks. So there's games there. And the most significant thing is we have a company come in at about 11 o'clock, and for 2 hours they're there, and they have these giant bubble balls the size of people. And basically we set them up in the 100 and Central Gym, and you can get in them. And then basically you bash into each other all over the gym.
Oh, so my goodness. I hope we have some film of this.
We have some great film of it. Matter of fact, we got the 100 and Central Superintendent Jeff Moore into one of those last year.
Oh, my goodness.
And he got bounced around pretty good. I don't think he's going to do it again this year.
Okay.
But it's really fun. And, of course, the young folks love that the most. And so it just gets your juices flowing. The first year, I think we had somebody come in and lead some aerobics in the middle of the night. So there's always something like that going on to break up the monotony a little bit.
Yes.
But mostly from 5:30 at night to 5:30 the next morning, they are in their rooms building their project. Mm. And again, we'll go around and mentors will go around and check in on them and what have you as much as needed. But they're in development mode. So then the next morning comes, and what will happen is we'll send mentors back through, and the judges will arrive. And they will go through and they will start to help the teams wrap up and get themselves ready for their presentations. And then I would
say... Does every team have access or definitely has a mentor with that kind of activity or only if they ask for it? Or how does that work?
We'll get around to everybody and ask. Not all of them will need the help. And then some of them, especially some of the younger ones, won't. A lot of the older teams may have already launched 3 or 4 startups already. That's not uncommon. It's a real highly qualified group that shows up for this. But
when you're done, I want to ask you how you select them. But finish your thought, please. Sure. I'm jumping all over here.
If you're 18, a team of 18 or 20-year-olds, essentially, they may need really in the middle of the night, too, Suzanne. Sometimes we get to them, and about midnight is where some of the more inexperienced ones realize they've bitten off more than they can chew. And so they need a mentor to come in and say, okay, reduce from this wide, for those not watching, I'm putting my hand smaller, but to this wide, and it'll help them reduce the scope of the project and allow them to move forward in a productive fashion. So anyway, so that all takes place. And at about 8 o'clock in the morning, we'll start organizing the teams, and we'll have them come in one by one, and they will do preliminary pitching to the judges. The whole idea of preliminary pitching is, at the closing ceremonies, the award ceremonies, only 10 teams will pitch. With the number of folks we have, we will likely end up between 16 and 20 teams.
Wow.
So what's going
to
happen?
Congratulations on that.
It's wonderful. Yes. And to be honest with you, we'd have the preliminary pitching to the judges even if we only had 10 teams, because we would just call practice pitching then.
Yes.
Because they do a better job if they get that once through and some feedback.
Okay.
But in this case, more than likely, what's going to happen is 18 teams will go in. They'll do 4 minutes, pitch to the judges, and the judges will then afterwards confer among themselves, and they will reduce to 10. We will then go out, and we will announce who the 10 finalists that will move on to the closing ceremonies. And we will hope that the ones that don't make it will stay and watch. And that's one of the reasons, frankly, Suzanne, we have all those extra prizes this year. It's like, don't run. You might not get first, second, or third, but you could get one of these other prizes. So then that part is open to the public. So at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, Anyone who wants to watch all the people that didn't make the finals, their friends, their family, people from the school, et cetera, and some people that we've invited will all sit down and they will watch the top 10 teams do 4-minute pitches on their projects. And last year's projects were so impressive that it really made for a highly entertaining closing ceremony. Fascinating to see what they come up
when
with.
When I think of a sport or I think of an industry where innovation and this sort of every moment something's changing, how important that is. I'm wondering, are there scouts? I mean, are there folks that come to listen to these ideas or folks that come to identify folks that have been particularly creative, let's say? Or
you know, interestingly enough, maybe, but you bringing that up point is that, you know, some of the – we've had sponsors that have shown up and watched. And so as a result of that, we've had hackathon participants get hired into permanent jobs out of both of the last events. And we hope that happens again this year. So to be honest with you, if we had – that's one of the reasons we want to try to get a lot of people at the closing ceremonies, because if we've got companies that need to beef up their staff or so on and so forth, it is a great scouting opportunity. That's correct. And we intend for that to be a part of the event that grows a lot more over time.
I would imagine.
But I'm happy, even with a minimal of effort and a minimal of focus on that, people have gotten jobs the first 2 years. So.
Wow. And that sort of leads into the, I did make a note here to say, what happens afterward? What's next now for all these folks that have been so geared up and have their aspirations, or at the very least, it sounds like they're going to have fun and a terrific menu.
Yeah, and so for a lot of them, it's just stay excited for next year. And we know that's happening because we have a lot of people from the first two hackathons that have registered for this year. So we know
that
people are enjoying it and they're coming back.
Yes.
But for some of them, that was the end of it. For others, it was just making friends, and then they've come to the monthly tech meetups, and they've continued to interact with their friends and so on and so forth. Some have continued working on their projects, though, and one or two have come far enough, and these would have been folks from the first year, have come far enough with their projects. They're actively seeking venture capital now to start new companies. So
is there any arm of the tech industry that assists in that?
There's
finding angels or venture capital.
These folks have been looking for genuine, real, you know, venture capitalists. You know, I don't think this is any of these two projects have been angel investor projects, but absolutely, we want to create more of a local structure. So all this activity that I've mentioned so far that happens after has really been just sort of organic. What the county is trying to do is put in more platforms so that we can continue to allow, or at least partner and provide tools for these projects to continue to evolve. So we would like to see the creation of mentor networks that will continue in an ongoing fashion to work with some of these finalists that have great jobs that could become viable companies. We want to have mentors working with them for months or even years afterwards if need be. We want to have angel investors available to potentially invest as their ideas come to fruition.
Our little shark tank here.
A little shark tank, exactly. We want to have a place for them to grow their ideas. So there are things such as business incubators where companies on the verge of startups get to grow their ideas, and they get to do it in an environment that allows them to invest their money in as only R&D. So you don't really charge a lot of rent. They're not really paying for a lot of utilities. They're getting their mentor help for free with the idea of, look, we want you to focus solely on getting your project off the ground. And a lot of these incubators, particularly in rural communities like Hunterdon, is I've looked around the country. Some of them have a lot of success. So I found one in North Carolina that they took 20 potential startups in 2 years ago. I haven't followed up in the last year. But they took 20 potential startups in their technology incubator 2 years ago, and eight of those became actual companies that then took root in that community. That's what we want.
Yes.
As great as it is that we attracted that Unicom Global into our Merck site, we all know there's only so much of that that's possible in Hunterdon. We don't have a massive amount of land for things to occur, and that's fine. But what that does mean is we want to focus on growing our companies from within.
Yes.
So to help us get to the point where we've got all those additional platforms available to continue to partner with all of these innovators as they grow their ideas, The Chamber of Commerce and Hunterdon County Economic Development have been working with the team of consultants that have done some great work in the innovation system in the university, in the Philadelphia area in West Philly. And we should have, by the end of this month, the first draft of our entrepreneurial ecosystem analysis. And that is just a fancy way of saying what is the best way to put a group of programs together and create a bunch of tools that can really help these guys grow their projects to fruition here in Hunterdon. So again,
I want to ask you more about that in a moment. It seems like the natural evolution of the discussion. I'm wondering, is there a network of hackathons? In other words, do you network with Hoboken or with Philly or something that says, this is when our event is coming, or post-event, here's clips of what happened, these are our top three winners, or, you know, we don't want them stolen.
Right. You know,
or lured away to higher ground or something. I don't mean higher ground, but you know what I mean. Maybe more money or greater opportunity. We want that to happen here, and I understand that.
Well, actually, that they don't even need to be competitive, because a lot of people just go to a lot of hackathons all year.
Oh, my goodness.
So it does make sense for everybody to cross-promote.
Okay.
But we were thinking the same thing that you just said the first year, and so we actually reached out to some of these others. Our initial impression the first year was there wasn't a ton of brother-in-arms culture around these hackathons.
Okay.
But that just could have also been because we were new kids on the block. And remember, when we first started, we might have been viewed, you know, like, oh, that's never going to happen. Because, again, this isn't typically the kind of environment. Rural,
yes.
No university, all those kind of things, underestimated tech workforce, where this kind of stuff takes off. Now that the third one's going to be over and we'll be working on our fourth one, maybe that will give us the credibility when some of them will say in the future, oh, let's. But at first, we didn't find that was something we could get any traction with, but we'll continue to try.
I think I just heard the collective fainting of your entire team when you said that now our third one and soon to be our fourth, considering this one hasn't happened yet, and you're planning the next one. I think they just all fainted to the ground.
That's a good point. Will everyone listening, you can rest first, then we'll start. I'll have Red Bulls for everybody.
But he won't give you a whole lot of time, given the man I know. So you then talked about this analysis, this entrepreneurial ecosystem analysis. Now, that's a very long title. But let's boil that down for our audience, too, and say, why do we want to hook that into our conversation, and what's happening around that? So first, I think we need to describe what it is, define it.
Well, again, an entrepreneurial ecosystem really could mean a lot of things. It's just what components exist in the surrounding area that are components that are needed to grow startups. And these days, there's a lot of mainstays to that consideration. So usually with the way the modern workforce, with work environment is going, I would think most people would say you need to have at least some co-working space available in your county, because that's the new model, essentially. Maker spaces are tremendously helpful. And for those that don't know, maker spaces are places where there's tools that exist that if for folks have ideas, can come start to model them. So think of it like this. They're like the modern equivalent of what Kinko's was in the 80s. So right, so in the 80s, if you remember Kinko's, and I know not everyone listening does, but we do, Kinko's, and you went and you used computers that you couldn't afford at that time, and graphic imaging that you couldn't afford at that time, and fax machines, right, which nobody had.
Yes.
So you could get a lot of work done there you couldn't in your home office without spending $100,000. Well, same thing now, except the things available in a makerspace are 3D printers, welding, software that allows you to do 3D imaging. So what happens is, if you got somebody working on a project in their garage, they can, and for an idea for a widget, they can come in and create that widget in a makerspace and then test it, because they'll have the actual part by the end of it, and so on and so forth. So co-working spaces, makerspaces, business incubators like we talked about.
Support staff,
entrepreneurial advice, so again, mentor networks and good relationships with your SBDCs and your SBAs. Small Business Administration, absolutely.
And Small Business Development Center, which is typically associated with a college, and in our case, it's with Raritan Valley Community College. However, I'm sure there are others in many of the other universities.
Right, absolutely. And so all those things are an entrepreneurial ecosystem, but there's more, too. The more creative side, can we create specialized incentives to help teams grow locally? Could we have some kind of ongoing pairing service? Like, you know, for example, we had talked about creating an online repository of our technologists in terms of having their skills listed. Yes. So, for example, we could have a LinkedIn group for all of our IT professionals, and then if a company was looking to come to Hunterdon County, they could start scouting out their potential staff before they even got here.
Understood.
But stuff like that could also be used so that if a two-person team has an idea and they're working with one of our mentor would be able to perhaps say, where can I, you guys are missing something here. There's a skill set you need to add to your team.
Wow.
Let me go find them. So that might just be a silly example, but I'm just trying to say there's a lot more components that could be put into place to help make it so that a budding entrepreneur can find everything they need internally. But we didn't want to just, when starting to put those together, we didn't want to just rely on our experience. We wanted to rely also on the experience of folks that have created these ecosystems in other places, and that's where this report comes in.
So right now it's under analysis.
And it's, yeah, all, the first draft will be available before this month is out. And FYI, it wasn't that the consultants, we brought them to about 60 people here. But we had community leaders, business leaders, technologists, folks involved with the effort, local state representatives, et cetera. We had them all interviewed by the consultants. We wanted to make sure they understood this county very well.
Yes, one size does not fit all.
This is a unique place. It really is.
In many, many ways, but certainly in this domain as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so the analysis is done. Tell me, what's our not content, obviously, but what's the anticipation of that product, and then what follows that, Mark?
The anticipation of that product is that we would emerge with at least a general consensus on what are next steps that we can take. So in other words, we've mentioned the billion, right? But we're not going to be able to afford or have the manpower to execute all those things right out the front gate. So that's why this study is not cookie cutter. It had to take into account the pros and cons of doing this kind of thing in Hunterdon. So it will prioritize steps for us. So we'll start to line up, all right, here's what we can do. Here's what makes sense to do year one, and then narrow that down. Here's what can be done year one. And then we will start to put in a track, basically a 3 to 5 year plan at the most, to at least emerge with a complete entrepreneurial ecosystem. But we certainly want to organize that first phase so it's delivering results right away, even if we don't deem it a complete ecosystem by the end of phase one. So that report is going to be all about prioritizing what we should and can do in terms of next steps. We want to go after that low-hanging fruit while planning for the longer-term stuff.
Okay. Let me just clarify for my own purpose. Is that analysis only in the tech industry, or is that across the board for Hunterdon County?
You know, we almost called it an innovation ecosystem. And we could have done that because all kinds of business startups can be innovative. We did switch to entrepreneurial because we did want to be clear that it's possible we would land on something that was much, much broader than IT and technology and traditional innovation areas.
Okay.
For example, I think most people would agree that a food and beverage business incubator might be something very appropriate for Hunterdon County.
I think of our wine industry and so forth, yes.
Yeah. So there might be, there's going to be elements of that potentially in this report, and we did have our agribusiness folks talk to the consultants early on in this process.
Great.
So, no, it doesn't just have to be tech-focused. We could end up in some places where a broader array of industries might be helped by what we put in place.
Okay. And I know that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Foundation has an entrepreneurial center. Does this coincide with their activities?
Absolutely. That's really exciting because essentially they, behind the Chamber of Commerce building, there is a pretty good sized structure where the Chamber does intend to house their entrepreneurial center. And they certainly, the Chamber has a good idea of some of the programs they'd like to run in there initially, but this report can end up adding a lot of new layers to the functionality of that facility. And the nice part from all the, from both partners' perspectives on this, the county and the chamber, is that it's already a project that's ongoing. So if that was not already in development when it came to creating an actual space for some of this stuff to play out in, you can be sure it would end up costing a lot more. Now at least we've got at least a location where at least some of this stuff can occur. Now, how much of it is going to be there? Hard to say.
Probably not the welding.
Well, right. Welding probably. We wouldn't need that because Raritan Valley Community College's Advanced Manufacturing Center has welding.
So, there you go.
So that's what this will look like. So part of this is going to be, what's this network look like, right?
Yes.
So we're probably not going to end up with one big space where all this stuff plays out, right?
Okay.
We're going to end up having a network, an entrepreneurial ecosystem network.
So it's both a place and an idea. And
right.
A concept and an activity. So it's not all facility focused.
There could be a virtual component.
Yes.
I think we're going to end up with a combination of locations and partners like RVCC and some of our co-working spaces.
Polytech, perhaps?
Absolutely. That are all in
that's
this
our,
network.
That's our technical school.
I think they always want us to say Hunterdon County Vocational.
And technical.
Yeah, and yeah, there we go.
Okay.
But it's so much easier to say Polytech.
Polytech.
Right? So we're going to end up with a network.
My apologies to say it again.
No, I can't.
Oh, okay. Them.
Them. So yeah, so there we're end. It's not going to be a single place. It's going to be a network that ends up providing everything we need in this ecosystem. And of course, that's better anyway because the more partners, the more resources.
Am I stepping into wrong territory to say this was a funded analysis study?
This study, a number of our studies we ended up getting grant reimbursement for, mostly recently for the economic development effort project through the Highlands Council, New Jersey Highlands Council. This one, Hunterdon County is paying for. We ended up, I will not bore the listeners, but we ended up switching that funding into a different project.
Okay.
So
okay.
This is a Hunterdon County funded effort. With a lot of sweat equity involved from the Chamber of Commerce as well.
Wonderful. Wonderful. For that, we thank them, and I'm sure that they thank your efforts involved. I mean, this is a big undertaking and a big concept.
It is, but it's just vital for the future of Hunterdon County. And I think it's one that will get a lot of buy-in from the citizens because I think that's what Hunterdon County citizens want. We want to grow from within. I think that's part of the DNA here. We have really smart folks. We've got a lot of resources. Why not?
Tremendous number of high-degreed and other folks with just creative minds.
You know how we have routinely at these monthly Hack Hunter and Tech meetups at Lone Eagle, we have ex-Bell Labs folks, for example. There's enough brain power out there that we should be able to grow a lot of clean industry and therefore opportunities for our emerging workforce from within. So I think that this kind of thing is going to continue to be at the heart of the economic development effort.
I want to hasten to say, too, Mark, that aside from the entrepreneurial center that's part of the Chamber of Commerce Foundation, that we're not talking about building buildings and whatever. We have a lot of empty inventory. We have a lot of assets out there for burgeoning companies or for entrepreneurs and so forth. So our intention is to utilize the space we already have and to help folks individualize those spaces for their own use as we move forward with this project. And I can only see it sort of mushrooming, right?
Absolutely. You know, in over 3 years now, no program that the economic development effort has been involved with, no initiative has ended up with one additional square foot of impervious surface being constructed in this town yet. Now, that's not to say that's never going to happen.
Of course.
But getting back to the project we talked about earlier, which the county did have involvement in addition to Reddington Township, Unicom Global coming into that Merck space is utilizing, as we know, an existing footprint. That basically sums up all the other projects to this point. So, and there's still a lot more space to utilize that needs to be repurposed or will be an expansion at a site where, again, a footprint already exists. So there doesn't need to be, to create this opportunity we're seeking for the future, it doesn't need to be a strain on local resources.
Great. Okay. So So what other areas, since we're sitting here at Chamber Radio, what other projects that does economic development and the Chamber share, Mark?
Yeah, that's a good point, and I do want to take the moment to talk about the fact that, getting back to the beginning of the conversation, I mentioned that last summer or last fall, Economic Development Office moved into the Chamber of Commerce, and that partnership...
Physically restored building here on Main Street.
Beautiful historic house.
Where we are speaking to you from, that's probably not a right sentence, but from right now.
Right across from my office.
Yes, there you go.
So I didn't have to come far to get here. I had no excuse to be late. But the nice thing about it is, of course, it's a beautiful building. It does two things really well. It shows to everyone coming to talk about economic development, and we're a gateway for a lot of activity in this economic activity in the county.
Yes.
It shows how serious the freeholders are about economic development. They come in, they see this building, they see our office, they see the staffing and the resources we have available, and they understand Hunterdon means business. And so that's a nice message to be able to send, that we're serious, and that helps us engage people and be a part of the action, of course. But the best part is that it makes partnering with the Chamber of Commerce so easy. And that's what we want. We want a public-private economic development effort, and that's what the Economic Development Office and the Chamber of Commerce working on things gives us. And just by being in the same building together, it's really enabled us to, as you said, embark on a lot of projects. So, of course, we've got the Hack Hunterdon effort, which, you know, includes the hackathon and the meetups, et cetera. We also, of course, have the Entrepreneurial Ecosystem Feasibility Analysis.
Yes.
I need an acronym for that, which we just talked about. But there's other things, too. We've got, for example, a tourism report that we've been working on for a while that's getting close to the end, and basically
several phases we've been through with that and reported out.
We had the impact that we did a study on the tourism industry impact on Hunterdon County over a 10-year period. We wrapped up last year a comprehensive survey of Hunterdon visitors, so that we would know who was coming here, why, what were they were doing, what they liked, what they didn't like, and better understand. And that is in its preliminary report, will be at the end of the month as well. And there'll be a third phase that will hopefully help us put together a long-term comprehensive tourism initiative. And we wanted a little advice on that, because unlike in a lot of other states where there's a permanent funding mechanism from the state that helps counties do this, there's not one here.
In the state of New Jersey, yes.
I think 49 other states do that. And
yes.
Lucky us.
Unless you're the Jersey Shore or the Meadowlands,
right?
It's pretty hard to get any kind of funding for.
Yeah. So, you know, we didn't want to just run down a road without a plan. We really wanted to come up with something. What's a way to have a sustainable model? Because, you know, I don't want to do, Suzanne, I don't ever want to lose credibility by going out to a bunch of tourism-related companies, starting an effort, and then not being able to finish it.
Yes.
You know, so before we brought them all on board, we wanted to say, let's make sure we have a model that really works. If we're going to take up these folks' time, we want it to be productive.
Yes. And certainly our agritourism business is another one where we need to probably put some focus. But there's so many of those, right?
Yeah, there are. But as you know as well as I do, those folks are busy enough without us wasting their time.
Yes.
So that's why, again, a little bit of thought has gone in before that's truly been launched. Not that there haven't been other tourism activity going on.
Correct.
By plenty of quality organizations in the county. The Chamber itself, Delaware River Towns, does wonderful tourism activity and projects for Hunterdon County, and, of course, tons of local merchant groups, et cetera. But we do want to have one big county effort, and we are working on that model. So, again, there's a wide range of partnerships, public-private partnerships now that are playing out because the Chamber and Economic Development are in the same building, and we get to work together, and we each have our staffs here, and the chemistry is just growing every day, I'm excited to say.
That is. Yes. When you say, just a brief clarification, when you're talking about public-private partnership, it seems self-explanatory, doesn't it? But just say, how does something like that occur? I mean, that's not an accident. You just don't go out and say, oh, great, you know, join us, won't you?
Right. Well, I mean, a public-private partnership can come about in any number of ways, but at the bottom line is the philosophy of one is that you really need, if you're going to generate solutions for a community, you want the public sector and the private sector involved. And even though schools are the public sector, I usually add them in anyway. Usually I try to build as many initiatives as possible with input from all three of those sides. And so the benefits are obvious because that basically represents most corners of society at that point, and you want to produce solutions for everybody. You don't want just one side's perspective and framework to evolve. It also, like we talked about earlier, gets all the resources on deck. So it can look any number of different ways, but because we're in the same building now, you've got resources from both sides to come into play in terms of executing these initiatives and input as well. So when I, and it's not just us. So when we talk about working with the chamber representing the private side, that's just a piece of it. Economic development visits with companies throughout the county on a regular basis, all industries. We visit between 30 and 60 companies a year, and we continue to engage with them. And the beauty of it is not only can we then be there to help if they have concerns, but usually a partnership forms, and then they also want to help us succeed. So a lot, getting back to the tech initiative and the Hack 100 initiative, a lot of our tech companies are involved with helping us run that. And, of course, that helps us because what good is it for Freeholder Legay and Economic Development Director Mark Salek to be running a tech initiative all by our lonesome?
Yes.
We need people from the industry helping us do it, and they are. So that's the public-private initiative. They can come about in many ways. They take many structures. But at the end of the day, it's both sides working on problem solving.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been here in Hunterdon County?
It has now been 3 years and about 4 months, I would say.
Yeah.
So time flies.
And so we had some funding with an analysis project, which comprehensive economic development. Realizing we needed a concerted effort, we're fortunate enough to find you. And I just want to, I just have to put in a plug that the trust that's built, the cooperation with public-private partnership, the grant funding. There's so many things, Mark, that we tip our hats to you for.
Well, thank you. And obviously, it couldn't happen without tons of partners. And if you, as long as you're being gracious enough to tip your hat, let me tip my hat to the fact that so many of our communities are philosophically aligned with all the things we've talked about today.
That we didn't know that beforehand, did we?
No, we didn't know that. And I know when I was doing my initial exploration phase, even before getting here, do I even want to come to Hunterdon? I think a lot of people expressed some doubt about that. And luckily that proved to be that was not well-founded doubt.
Right.
So the communities have been a part of this effort. Schools, businesses have been a part of this effort. And
the time was right.
All the way to the point where we're all working together. So as an example, you've heard me use a lot. We now have something called the 78-22 Coalition, and that is...
That being Route 22.
That's right.
Interstate 78.
Absolutely. That is the leadership from all the communities across the 78 and 22 corridors, basically, that are sitting on one committee now, jointly addressing growth issues and concerns and opportunities across that corridor. My understanding is, from what I've been told, is that kind of thing was sort of unthinkable a few years back.
And there's no competition. There's no sitting on secrets. There's no animosity. This is truly a coalition. These are interested people for the same purpose and the same reasons.
Yeah.
Listening and learning together and choosing their actions together.
And let me tell you something. Even though the Economic Development Office was the entity, the catalyst for putting it together, it's not like we had to go out there and really browbeat them. It was they recognized the value. So, again, getting back to what we talked about, I'd want to tip my hat to the fact that there's a lot of good partners in this county, and it makes me feel very good about our future. So,
As am I. I have one more question, I think, for you. We're buzzing right through here. I knew that would happen, Mark.
Yeah, how about that?
So I'm very grateful for all the information that you're sharing with our audience.
I used to do what you are doing now, Suzanne, and I remember there were certain guests that I could bring in, And then I would just ask them the first question, and then I wouldn't even listen. They were just off and running for 50 minutes. So,
well, I will tell you the inside joke is that when I left the county to come over here, they said, you really just have to start the show, and then you could leave because Mark can finish it by himself.
Mark will finish. Don't worry.
But there's lots of questions I want to represent for our audience. We talked about several studies, right? And I'm wondering from our audience, besides being interested in today's topic, if they really want to follow through on any of this, is there a place that these studies are published, or when we do this entrepreneurial ecosystem analysis, are there sites? Is there a website? Is there a way for folks to know more about that?
Yeah, I'm making an assumption here that I think is going to be valid. So originally, before I got here, when the county did the comprehensive economic development strategy, that was posted on the planning website. I'm more than happy to continue to post results there, but also we have our own website now.
And a fine one it is. People should really know about this, so go for it.
It is exciting. So there is the Hunterdon County Economic Development website now, a standalone website that's, of course, the county has funded. It's for the county, et cetera, but it's a standalone from the entity, the county itself's web presence. And it is HuntertonCountyEDC.com.
Say it again.
Hunterdon County EDC.
Which is economic development.
Committee.
So yeah. ED, though. Okay, good.
EDC.com.
Yes.
And there's a lot of good information there that folks that are looking at maybe moving their or growing their existing opportunity in Hunterdon can learn. There's a property locator, there's a lot of demographics and industrial and workforce data. There's information about who we are, who we want to be. So there's our targeted industries there. And so on and so forth. So it's a great website, and yeah, we probably will as these – we will as these reports and analyses start to come to fruition post there, and I'm sure the Chamber of Commerce will do the same thing. So there will be lots of outlets to find this information.
Okay, and right now?
Right now we don't really – none of them have been posted yet.
Okay.
So I would say for the information – that I talked about, a lot of that will be at the HuntertonCountyEDC.com website. If folks want to know anything more about any of the initiatives we talked about here today, they should contact me and get on our monthly newsletter list, and that's one way to keep up.
Tell us how to do that, Mark.
Go ahead and email myself or call me. So my county email address is M Salick, so M for Mark, S as in Sam. ALUK at, here's the funky county extension here, at co.hunterdon.nj.us. And anyone's welcome.
And the path through that is CO is county, then we list Hunterdon, then we list New Jersey, then we list US. So there is a logic to that. It just sounds, when you spit it out, it sounds like it's impossible to remember.
Sounds
it's very logical. So just trot your way through that, yeah.
But you can also contact us through the website. I don't think we have a newsletter sign up yet on there. We will, but you can still contact us and request that. But we also have Hunterdon County Economic Development Facebook page and Instagram and Twitter. And you can also, we put out press releases all the time. We actually just put out one earlier today on the two economic development grants we just gave. And people can call my cell phone at any time. It's a work phone, 908-399-1108. If you want more information.
One more time, 399.
908-399-1108. And that is, if you want more information, call. If you've got feedback, call. If you just want to tell us that everything we're doing is wrong and you have a better idea, by all means, I want to hear it. So.
Oh, you were just really sailing till then. But you brought up a point, and we're really running short on time, and I want to make sure that we get this in here. And that is, when you were describing the website and its development, I know that one of our municipalities thought that this was such a workable website and information for folks looking for location, business, commerce and location and so forth, that they really wanted to not replicate it, but do a pretty close version of that. And so tell us then what happened next.
Sure. So the Freeholders approved a economic development grant, and I'll talk about that if we have time for just a second. But
program.
They approved an economic development grant from the economic development grant funding program that runs out of this office. They approved earlier this week a grant to the town of Clinton to modify the town's existing municipal website to make it more business-friendly, create an easier access for information for folks looking to do projects in Clinton, citizens and business alike. And as part of a trend that is sweeping through Hunterdon County right now of towns wanting to partner more with the community. And so ease of information has been a part of that trend that's going throughout the county. This idea of trying to create more reasonable and appropriate processes for developing projects in towns so that they're maybe a little less cumbersome and a little less expensive, and so on and so forth. And the grant fund program that the Freeholders created has been helping us do that. So we've given grants so far touching on one or other of those areas to Clinton, Flemington, Raritan Township, Alexandria Township, and to Frenchtown. And so, again, it's a great partnership in the with the county helping lead the way, this idea that, okay, towns, we'd love you to join us on this trip, but we're not leaving you out there on your own with no resources.
But we do want you to have skin in the game, so.
Right. So the Economic Development Grant Program is available for municipalities only at this time. The main requirement really is that the project that they seek funding for has to be consistent with the programs and initiatives of the economic development effort, which, as everyone just heard, could mean a lot of things because we got a broad mission. But they do have to have a 10% match. So the locality has some skin in the game, but what ends up happening is we have a partnership. Every time we give a grant, we formed a partnership to help move one of our initiatives forward.
Yeah. Mark, a lot going on, huh?
Plenty.
A lot going
right.
on
That's
in economic
my
development.
Voice a little rundown
yes.
right now.
I want to put in one more quick plug for the hackathon, and then I have to acknowledge the sponsors that we didn't get a chance to hear.
Okay.
So hackathon.
Okay. So the third annual Hack Hunterdon Hackathon is this weekend, June 8th and June 9th. Registration is closed, but the event is looking to be one that's going to be even more successful than the last two. Tons of sponsors, tons of participants. We know what we're doing now, so things should flow really well. And hopefully we'll emerge on the other side with some projects that will continue developing and result in a year or two in local business.
And if they can't get to this hackathon, you meet monthly where with all your techies in the county and visitors as well? Where?
Yeah, join us. The Hack Hunterdon Monthly Tech Meetup is the last Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing in Flemington. All are welcome. And when you get there, you even get a token for a free beer. So your first free beer is on the house when you get there each night. So, by the way, I'm the one that gives out those tokens, Suzanne, so that makes me a very popular person
okay.
when I first show up.
I've asked you to do a lot of talking in this hour, considering that you're going to be talking for 24 hours straight very shortly. So, Mark, I want to thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Exciting hackathon, and not to mention all the other things that you talk about that are being developed for the residents and businesses in Hunterdon County and for its sustainability and viability in the future. So
For and with.
That's right. Yes. Okay, great. And I want to do thank our sponsors. Throughout the day, there's commercials played for the businesses here in Hunterdon County that do support Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Very, very well-received. The podcasts of these shows, many of our listeners hear them live or see them streaming live, but the greater majority download podcasts. So while Mark said his hackathon is June
8th and 9th,
that doesn't mean that any of the information on a podcast that he just talked about won't be just as viable except for this year's hackathon.
Right.
And that's true of all the programs here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And there, five-day-a-week, most of the clock time, business hours radio station. So thank you to those that I should have acknowledged. I hope that you listen to all the valuable programs from Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Your County at Work is scheduled every first Thursday of the month from 4 to 5 o'clock. I'm Suzanne Legay. I'm your host. We'll be back next month, and what I think we'll be talking about is this unfortunate ash tree. or the fact that we're losing most of our ash trees are probably soon going to be a thing of the past. That's how dire that is. So I'm hoping that we'll bring some information about can you save the trees? If you can, how? Otherwise, what do we do? And so forth. So that will be our next session of Your County at Work, which is a behind-the-scenes explanation of how we serve all the residents, visitors, and businesses in Hunterdon County. Thank you so much for joining us.